In this episode, we talk about why using conditioning as punishment is truly a destructive practice, and we give you tips on how to reprimand your athletes in a much more constructive way.
Welcome to the Hit Zero Podcast, where our goal is to build better cheer athletes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Hit Zero Podcast. First and foremost, I just want to thank you for joining me. I really am appreciative of the feedback that we've gotten from, you know, previous episodes, and the viewership and listenership that we've had has been tremendous. And I truly am thankful for your feedback and for you listening and contributing. It truly does make this even more fun than it already is. So this week's episode, we are going to cover a topic that I've seen a bit more lately. It's not a new topic by any stretch of the imagination, but it's definitely something that I want to discuss and to create a dialogue with you guys about. And that is using conditioning as a punishment of sorts. And so this episode is going to be geared towards talking about using conditioning as punishment, as well as 10 things to think about when it comes to deciding what kind of punishment may be suitable for your athletes. Now, the first thing that I want to discuss with you guys is that, first of all, conditioning is already done wrong for the majority of the sport. And I know that's probably going to ruffle some people's tail feathers, and there are going to be people that disagree with me, but the truth of the matter is, one of the biggest reasons that I post weekly workouts and why I write conditioning and strength and conditioning manuals for our sport is because, unfortunately, most of the programs in the sport don't condition properly. They use old methods that aren't as effective as they could be, or they're not doing any conditioning or strength building at all. And we've talked about this in previous episodes about how improper conditioning actually is one of the causes of injuries that our athletes experience in the sport. And so if we take something that's already done incorrectly, and then we start using it as a way to punish, not only are we reinforcing bad habits, but now we're also creating a negative stigma in our athletes around conditioning. Strength and conditioning should be something that our athletes look forward to because they recognize that when done properly, it will take them to the next level. Our sport is dramatically behind the ball when it comes to how to properly strength build and condition. Our athletes are extremely imbalanced when it comes to strength versus flexibility, and it makes them prone to injuries. So if we take conditioning, which is something that we vitally need, and now we make it a punishment, we're just setting ourselves back two more steps. And so I want to start to shift the mindset. I know a lot of coaches and a lot of parents and a lot of athletes already have the belief that conditioning should not be used as punishment, which is fantastic. So this episode is designed to reinforce these ideas that you guys already have, but also to create a mind shift in those that do still believe that using conditioning as punishment is a good idea. And so we're going to dive right in. So the first thing I want to think about is when it comes to punishment, or it comes to giving our athletes something to reprimand them, the first thing we need to determine is this a code of conduct issue, or is this an error in skill issue, right? Is this something that an athlete did where they violated the code of conduct in the way that they should act as athletes, either disrespecting a coach, disrespecting another athlete, disrespecting the facility, disrespecting parents, etc.? That being a code of conduct issue. Or is this a skill error? Is it something that we know, you know, if they're a level 6 athlete, that they're missing level 3 skills and, you know, they're putting other team members and athletes at risk? So we have to determine, first of all, what is this? Is it a code of conduct issue, or is it a skill error? Now, regardless of whether it is a code of conduct issue or a skill error, the first of our 10 top things to think about when it comes to punishment comes down to addressing either one. And that is going to be the first thing you should do. And this does not have to be at the beginning of the season. If you're already in season and you want to implement this, this is something you can do right now and introduce it to your team as a way to be more accountable as a coach and as an athlete, but also in a way to create fairness for the athletes and actually make this something that is designed for them. So the first thing is you have to talk to your athletes about punishments and come to an agreement as to what types of punishments should be doled out for certain things. You know, if it is a skill error that we talked about earlier, something that, you know, athletes should be able to do on a consistent basis and they're just constantly missing it, we would want to address that a whole lot differently than we would a code of conduct issue. Let's say if an athlete was disrespectful to a coach or if an athlete was habitually late, et cetera, et cetera. And so in order to have, you know, to reduce a lot of the stress that comes with determining what is the most appropriate punishment, the easiest way to do that is to have that conversation with your athletes, with your parents, coaches, owners, everybody is on the same page as early as possible. Again, I know the season's already begun, so this doesn't have to be something that you wait until next year. You can set, you know, call a meeting, you know, have the coaches discuss with the parents and the athletes of each individual team. And this is something that can be implemented straight away. So the first thing is talk with your athletes and come to an agreement and an understanding about what punishments should go with what violations and let them have an input. You'd be amazed at what type of input these athletes have and what they're willing to put on themselves when given the opportunity to take responsibility. You know, at the USASF national meeting, I was floored by how bright, how forward-thinking, how, you know, how responsible our athletes, our young athletes can be. And so I implore you to give them an opportunity to come up with their own punishments that they believe is fair. I believe that you would be surprised at some of the things that they come up with. Number two, be firm and be consistent with whatever you decide. So if once you guys decide on what punishment should be doled out for different violations, you must be consistent with this punishment. It can't be something that you're wishy-washy on. And at times I know it's very difficult. It can be very hard to implement a punishment. But the second that we violate, if a coach or an owner, the second you violate your own rules, you then have violated an agreement that you have with your athletes, your coaches, and your parents. So this is something that is extremely important. This is not something that can be taken lightly. And that's why it's so important to sit down with the athletes and come to an agreement on what punishment should be doled out. You know, one of the worst things you can do is create an air of mistrust within the gym, and it grows fast. It's viral almost. So you have to be firm and you have to be consistent with your punishment, even if you know that it's not going to be the easiest thing to do. Now, things that you can do when there is different code of conduct issues or skill issues is going to lead us into our third topic, which is basically addressing directly the violation that the athlete did. And so I was looking online for a couple of different resources and I found some really great things that I was really, I really could stand behind. And again, this is not a comprehensive list. This is just things that stood out to me as ways to address punishment instead of just using conditioning. So one thing I really liked comes down is going to be our number three, which is have the athlete write a letter. If they're disrespectful to a single athlete or a single parent or a single coach, have that athlete sit down, handwrite a letter, you know, with an agreed upon length, explaining their side, explaining the situation, explaining their understanding that what they did was maybe not the right thing, and also give them a chance to speak their, you know, to voice their mind, and then sit down with that athlete and read that letter. And really give them a chance to have a voice, but have them have a voice that is going to be one that they take time to actually put down. It's very easy to have a very heated discussion in the moment, but when you take the time to sit down and actually write out your thoughts and really try to make a coherent argument about your feelings, you know, you'd be amazed at what the athletes come up with, and I believe your athletes would be surprised at, you know, what they're, when they go back and read it, what they're actually willing and want to put down on the piece of paper. So I saw that idea. I really liked it. If there's a disrespect issue between a coach or an athlete and a coach, an athlete and another athlete, et cetera. I think having them write a letter and actually sit down and discuss their feelings is a great way to do that. And that rolls into number four, which is if an athlete disrespects the entire team or disrespects the program, this is something that I feel they should address responsibly to the people that they disrespected. You know, I'm not a fan of belittling athletes or making people feel less than they are. But I also am not a fan of letting other people belittle people. And so when an athlete is disrespectful to a team member, or I should say an entire program or a team, they do something that, you know, let's say they're habitually late for practice, that's being disrespectful to their team. If they're not dressed right, that's being disrespectful to the program and their team. You know, if they have a bad attitude or if they're being unsafe and they're putting other athletes at risk, that again is being disrespectful to a large group of people. And so my thoughts on that would be to sit down with that athlete first, individually, explain what they've done and try to get their feedback on what they feel. And then, in my opinion, I think the best thing to do is to have that athlete address the entire group that they've disrespected or that they've created a violation against. And so if that involves, you know, pulling the entire team and having the athlete, you know, stand up in front of the team and say, if, you know, speak their mind and say, you know, that they recognize the error of their ways, I think that's a fantastic thing to do. I think it's a way that teaches taking responsibility. And it also teaches, you know, ownership of when you make mistakes. And I think that is a fantastic skill to have that a lot of people don't have. It's very rare that you hear somebody say, yes, I made a mistake, I was wrong, and these are the things that I'm going to do to correct it to make sure that it doesn't happen again, or to do my best to make sure that if it does happen again, I'm able to correct it as quickly as possible. So I think that addressing an entire group teaches a whole lot of life lessons really, really fast. So don't be scared to have your athlete stand in front of a group of people in a very constructive way and explain themselves and apologize if they have violated or disrespected a large group. The next one is some action steps that they can also continue to do. Let's say if they have an athlete that does a violation, you know, code of conduct issue, have them coach younger teams. So put them, give them a role of responsibility in the gym where, you know, you expect them to be a standout and to help others. A lot of times, you know, I've seen with, you know, with younger athletes is it's not that they mean to be necessarily disrespectful or violate rules, but that they're kind of eager to do more, and that eagerness and somewhat idle time, I guess, can be destructive. And so you'd be amazed that when you give a younger athlete or a teen athlete the responsibility of helping others, you'd be amazed at what can come from that. So I think a great idea is to, you know, have a certain number of hours that you say, okay, if you have this violation or if you break this rule, then you have so many hours of, you know, quote unquote community service, and your community is your gym, right? So they're going to provide service to other athletes in the gym to work off their violation. Additionally with that, they can also, for our next one, clean the gym. You know, it's not conditioning, but it is physical work. It's showing athletes that there is nothing beneath them. This is a thing that I was instilled, you know, that my parents instilled in me at a very young age, is that no matter what, there's nothing that's beneath you. There's no work or labor that is beneath you. There's no person that is beneath you, and there's no responsibility that is beneath you. Everyone has a place and everyone is important. And so having an athlete that has a bad attitude or violates a rule, you know, in the gym, I think having them clean the gym is a fantastic way to show them that everyone's important and that disrespecting or violating the rules of that gym is not acceptable. And so cleaning the gym, fantastic way to dole out a punishment. Another one I really liked, I thought it was very interesting, was silent practices. So if you have, I think this would go really well with, if you have a team that is being disrespectful, that won't pay attention, that won't stay on task, won't stay on track, especially when it's in competition season like we are right now, a silent practice. And then from there have, You know, if you violate the silent practice ordinance or rule for that day, you know, have a set punishment that you're going to have for them. You know, and you can use some of these other ones that we did before, like, you know, cleaning the gym, or, you know, you say for every time they talk, it's an hour of quote unquote community service in the gym. So, you know, for every time they talk, they have an hour of cleaning they have to do, or they have an hour of skills work they have to provide for other athletes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So having our silent practice, I thought that was a pretty cool idea. If it is a skill error, like we talked about before, the next one is to basically, it's not conditioning, it is addressing the error. This is not a punishment, right? So a skill error should not be punished unless it's a skill error done on, you know, I hate to say on purpose, but if it's a skill error done due to irresponsibility that puts another person at risk, that again, that's a different story. But if we do have athletes that are working, they're not hitting skills like they should, remember that, you know, fatigue is a factor. You know, just being mentally sharp is a factor. Remember, they're students too. They've got lives at home. They've got a lot of things going on, and sometimes they just have off days. So with this, I wouldn't necessarily call this a punishment, but I think that working on that skill consistently over and over and over and drilling and over, it doesn't have to be 1,000 times, but just doing that skill until they start to hit it consistently is a fantastic way to do it. Now, that may not be the most effective time-wise, but if you're working on a skill for a routine and they're not hitting the skill, then we need to put our time and focus where we're lacking. So it may not sound very efficient, in at least in use of time, but if you have a skill that you're trying to hit in competition and it's the only thing you're hitting and you're on the brink of changing it, instead of changing it, spend more time doing it. Muscle memory, right? Repeat, repeat, repeat. So using time to work on a single skill repeatedly is a fantastic way to address a skill error. And before we get to our last two, we're going to take a quick break so we can hear a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back with our final two of top 10 things to think about when it comes to doling out punishment or reprimanding our athletes. We'll be right back. Hey, thank you so much for your support for the Hit Zero podcast. Truly could not have done it without Anchor. Anchor has an incredible platform where you can record, edit, and distribute your podcast all from your phone. You guys would be surprised how many episodes I have done from start to finish and distributed it from my phone. It's really, really, really incredible. Now, what you have to do is you can either go to anchor.fm. That's their website. You can go there, you can get started, or you can download the Anchor app. It's available in all of the app stores that you can get for your phone, and you can start right away. And believe it or not, you can actually make money from your podcast, and you don't even have to have a certain amount of listeners. Just by having one listener, you can start to make money from your podcast. So if you're interested in making a podcast, check out anchor.fm or check out the app store, download Anchor, and I cannot wait to hear your first episode. Okay, we're back with our last two. Number, you know, I guess you could count them down, but count them up, count them down. So this is either number 9 or number 2. So one of the things that stood out a lot to me that I think was a really important tip and a really important thing to consider when we're looking at punishing or, you know, or reprimanding our athletes is to not berate our athletes. You know, punishment should not be something that you'd use as a public shaming. It should not be something that is used to belittle athletes in front of other athletes. I don't think we need to go into much more of a discussion about it than that. I think it's pretty straightforward that you're an adult that your athletes look up to guide them, to support them, to educate them, to be an extension of, you know, their family and those that they turn to in need. And to abuse that position by berating your athletes or, you know, publicly shaming them or embarrassing them is, you know, simply it's disgusting. So that's one thing that I'm very fervent about, is that if you are using public shaming in any way to dole out a punishment or to reprimand an athlete. That shows laziness as a coach. That shows irresponsibility as an adult. And in my opinion, should not be tolerated. It was never a way that I coached and taught. It was definitely not a way that I, when I was in some of the roles, responsibilities I had, you know, in director roles and things, it was not something I allowed from our staff. And, you know, I anytime I visit gyms or visit programs, and it, you know, it's something that I you know, I will cross that line and step out of, you know, potentially out of my place if I see that taking place, because you don't realize the impact that you have on a child or a young teen or a teen when you publicly berate them. There's much more efficient ways to reach someone and to create a shift in their mindset that does not involve making them feel like less of a person. So that to me is very important. Do not berate your athletes when it comes to reprimand or punishment. And unfortunately, the last one, number one or number 10, however you want to look at it, is removal. I mean, unfortunately, that is part of, you know, it's part of it. There's many athletes around the country every year that get taken off of, you know, teams or removed from programs. It's an unfortunate thing, but, you know, we got to keep in mind, you know, and this is to the athletes, you have to keep in mind your coaches have a responsibility that, you know, extends beyond you. Yes, you are important, but you are one member of a team and potentially of a large organization. And if you are going to be, you know, a cancer to that program, you're going to be something that is, you know, that is creating a rift or, you know, a problem in the program, and it's been attempted to be addressed before, you know, more than once, you know, or once, depending on how severe the violation is, you know, you will likely need to be removed. Now, I think a lot of the removal process is going to come down to that first meeting that we have with our athletes, where we discuss what things they can expect with certain violations. But there needs to be a discussion of removal. And I think that the removal can come in different ways. It doesn't always have to be a permanent removal. I mean, if it's an egregious enough violation, then obviously sometimes that needs to happen. But I think that having, you know, partial removals, temporary removals, you know, extended dismissals from the gym, you know, that's not on a forever basis, can definitely be a useful tool. But it needs to be something that is discussed so that there is no surprise, and it needs to be something that's discussed with the parents as well, that they fully understand that, you know, there are certain things that are completely unacceptable. And if those are violated, then, you know, removal is definitely still an option. So I hope, you know, again, I know this is not an exhaustive list of, you know, of ways that we can, you know, reprimand and things to think about when we're looking at how do we punish, quote unquote, or reprimand our athletes when they do things wrong. But these were things that in going through some research and looking online at a few different forums and coaching forums, a few different, you know, psych pages and things like that. These are things that really stood out to me. I thought they were very interesting and could be very effective. And I ask the coaches and the program owners, if there's some of these that you're not doing or that you thought were interesting, definitely give them a shot. Let me know and let the rest of the cheer community know about things that you're doing that are constructive when it comes to punishments and things of that nature. Because I think that really the best way we can do it is really to learn from each other, to try things that we think are best, and then share that information with the other people in the community so that we can, you know, again, create effective ways to build our athletes up when we're trying to get them to do and be better and not break them down. Thank you guys so much for joining me for this episode. I look forward to catching you on the next one. Have a good one.